Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, starting off our program this week, as usual, with an overview of some of the news that's affecting small farmers, family farmers. That's the backbone, the core of this program. We aim here to help to connect food, family, and farm, and certainly the small family farmer, in my mind, in my experience, in my life, has been the backbone that America needs to continue to have a strong, healthy farm economy. So this information that came out this week is not good for the family farmers who are dairy folks. The United States of America has lost 6% of its dairy farms in the last year alone. There are now fewer than 30,000 dairy farms in the entire country. There used to be in my state of Massachusetts, for example. I can remember when I was a youngster, there were probably 450, somewhere in that vicinity, 450 dairy farms. Right now, in the Massachusetts, in the corridor, pretty much in the western part of the state, but some central part and the southeast, there are 104 dairy farms left in our state. And what that does to the farm economy, what that does to your ability to get good dairy products, it is amazing. It's a catastrophe. If you look at the Mid-Atlantic, they've lost 480 farms in the past year. New York and Pennsylvania both lost over 200 farms in the past year. New Jersey only has 35 dairy farms left in the entire state. 35. How do you get fresh local milk when there are only 35 dairies left in your state? In Delaware, they only have 15 dairy farms. This is shocking. The U.S. lost 1,800 dairies last year. There were, the year before that, during the height of the pandemic, 2,500-plus farms exited the dairy industry. Vermont, where there is the largest number of organic dairies, they have been losing, last year they lost 60 farms, 9%. Vermont and Wisconsin, states like that, they've been big dairy. New York State, they're all getting knocked out by the huge agribusinesses and the huge factory farms that have thousands of cows. Wisconsin lost 5% of its dairies last year, but it still has the most in the country, 6,700 dairy farms in Wisconsin. That's cool. Second is Pennsylvania. They have 5,200 dairy farms. What a wonderful state, too. Wisconsin, I don't know that much about Wisconsin, but I know that Pennsylvania is a fabulous dairy state and a fabulous state. When you drive through it, it is kind of a great feeling. If you're a farmer, you love this atmosphere, then you love Pennsylvania. But that's the rarity. It's not like New York used to be like that. And because of the bad political scenario that's there, and because of big agribusinesses pushing the small dairy farmers out, there's a lot of fallow land, a lot of land in New York State, beautiful land, not being used. The number of U.S. dairy farms has fallen in half in the past 15 years. Swallow that. We have 30,000. 15 years ago, we had over 60,000 dairy farms in America. Over that period, though, think about this. This is really sick. Milk production has increased by 25%. Milk per cow has grown by 20%. And those people who are adding the hormones and things like that, because they're still going on, they're also responsible for part of the problem. And part of the problem is realized by understanding that the quality of the milk that's coming from many of these dairies, especially the bigger ones, is not anywhere near what it used to be. There aren't as many brown cows as there were. Brown cows, obviously, because of the makeup, because of the history and the heritage, are more aimed at butterfat and production of quality milk versus quantity, which is what the Holsteins, the Friesians, are aimed at. Most dairy farmers have Holsteins, although many of them will put in, you know, a few Jerseys here and there, a few Ashiers or Brown Swiss to get their protein and their butterfat cowed up a little bit. But, you know, it's just, it's a shame to see. And the cows are abused, too. That's one of the things that really, in addition to not having enough quality milk, the abuse of the animals, the abuse of the cows. These cows that go through these factory farms, if they get 2-3 lactations out of a cow, that normally, in my experience, in my farming, it's I get 8-9 lactations out of a good cow, and they're still healthy when they're done. 2-3 lactations in the factory farms, and the cows are next to dead. So what do you think? What's the quality of the milk that's coming out of these cows? Is anybody even questioning that? Certainly not anybody in the government that knows. They're all in cahoots, in my mind, with these big agribusinesses. So at any rate, I thought the facts were startling, and I wanted to present them to you in our news portion here on the American Family Farmer.
Calitrin is collagen. We're born with collagen. We lose it. You're putting back into your body what your body has naturally. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. And what it does, it supports the lean muscle. It burns your stored fat. You're going to more than likely see inch loss before weight loss. That doesn't happen fast. Also, if you have anything joint-wise, muscle-wise, it's going to go there first. You know, your body breaks down the collagen protein, and one of those proteins is glycine, which helps your body sleep more soundly. So there's many, many benefits, but it's one of your few that your heart patients, your diabetics, if you're on prescription meds, it will not interact at all.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. Use the code DJV for free shipping and to get these BOGO deals. It's a great way to lose weight, the healthiest way to do it in America. Check it all out at toploss.com.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. I don't believe God intended for us to be old and sick. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the immune system. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking a healthy immune system. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. Bring your body back to balance. Order now and receive free shipping and a free bottle of my Swooskin.
Get your body back in balance with Balance7.com. Your energy level will go up, joint discomfort will be reduced, and heartburn no longer a problem. And now go to support at Balance7.com and get a free 5-day supply of Balance 7 while supplies last. A free 5-day supply of Balance 7. Go to support at Balance7.com or call 805-474-0558. 805-474-0558. 805-474-0558.
This is the American Family Farmer. Today our focus is on farmers markets. This has been something over the years that we've done this program. There have been a lot of people on who have either been interested in starting farmers markets, they want to know how to do it, or they've done it and they've been successful, or they've done it and they've been unsuccessful. So today we focus on a lady who's running a very successful market. Alter ego community is Santa Monica. Most of you know that I live in the wintertime on the West Coast, and during the farm period on the East Coast, I'm on my farm in Massachusetts. So I took note when visiting, I like the Santa Monica farmers markets. There are in Los Angeles County tons of farmers markets, and most of them are pretty good. As a matter of fact, I think the farmers markets out there are better than most of them that I've encountered or even participated in as a farmer here on the East Coast. There's something about, I don't know, the liveliness, the activity, number of people, maybe it's the weather, I don't know, a whole combination of things. I want to find out what the secrets are, so I invited Jody May, who runs the Santa Monica Farmers Market. Jody has her full-time job, sort of the curator. You like that title, Jody? You're the curator of the Santa Monica Farmers Market. I kind of like that.
I do like that.
All right. So now you can put that on your card, curator of the Farmers Market. So Jody and I were talking a couple of weeks ago when I was at the market about, you know, what it takes. Most people, as in many circumstances, when you go into an organization or you experience something, you don't get or put together what goes on behind the scenes. And as this program is supposed to be instructive, even though our focus is on the family, on food, on the farm, this is a way for farmers to learn. If you're going to create your own, some farmers have their own farmers market where they bring in people in their community to sell their wares. But this is a highly populated urban setting, and the farmers come, I think, from, most of them come from quite a ways away, do they not, to bring their produce to your market, Jody?
That is absolutely correct, and I love your focus on the farm and the family, and that's actually our focus as well. And we have farmers that come, drive, you know, 4 or 5 hours several times a week to Los Angeles from all parts of California to participate in the farmers market here.
How do you decide, as the operator, the director, who is good, who's not, the right people, the right mix? Help people who are listening who may want to know how to do it, how you figure what the right mix is.
Sure. It's a complex sort of equation. And, you know, if you have an established market like we do, you already have a really good selection of products. And so we look at the existing products within the market and see if there's anything missing. We get a lot of applicants throughout the year, so we unfortunately have to turn many of them away. But we really want to be mindful of what the market can bear and not being overly duplicative, therefore cutting into the profitability of farmers that are already participating in the market. So at this point, as an established market, we're looking at bringing in things that are highly unique. So, for example, I have many farmers that grow row crops, strawberries, spinach, lettuce, row crops. I have many farmers who grow tree fruit. I have many farmers who have meat, actually, ranchers and cheese. What is missing right now is mushrooms and papayas. And so we're working with a new farmer, actually, who grows the product in California, in Carpinteria, and we'll be bringing in a mushroom and papaya grower this weekend.
Does it have to be that a person who participates with you comes from California? If somebody came to you from Arizona or some other place, wanted to bring their wares in, would you say, yeah, we need that? Or does this have to be, and I ask the question because I think a lot of people bring in, at least here in the Northeast, a lot of people bring in things that are not necessarily local, and I'm not even sure that they are actual farmers. Like, we have certain kinds of popcorn that show up in the farmers market, one of the farmers markets that I do here, and I don't know if that's particularly legit or not. So I guess the question is, back to where and how much?
Sure, absolutely. Great question. So in the state of California, the farmers markets are actually overseen and regulated by the California Department of Agriculture, and the county inspectors come to inspect the farmers markets. Now, excuse me, it is different in every state, right? So California has very strict regulation. The regulations require that any certified farmers market, different than certified organic, must have California farmers. We cannot bring in produce, shelled nuts, meats, etc., from outside of California. They have to be California grown and sold to you by the farmer. So not only by the farmer, but someone in California can't go buy produce and resell it at a certified farmer's market.
Ah, that's a very good distinction, because I think that happens a lot. People buy stuff, they bring it in, and then they resell it, and the legitimacy or the authenticity of it is kind of wasted or gone, or it becomes corrupt if you're really trying to do something that gives people. See, one of the problems is, and I wonder whether you feel it this way, and I want you to think about it for a second, then I'll get an answer from you, the idea of what people know. How sophisticated are people, are the buyers? You have thousands of people that come to that market every week. How sophisticated are they as to knowing not just what they want, but what they're getting? Let's address that in a moment. Conversation with Jody Lowe, who runs the Santa Monica Farmers Market here on the American Family Farmer.
Thank you. frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down. Baby, take my arm. I ain't hearing nothing.
Back to the focus on the Santa Monica Farmers Market as a good example of farmers markets and how to run them. A successful one, Santa Monica, California, led by Jody Lowe and her crew. It's been in existence for a long time, very popular. Most of the farmers markets have come of age, if you will, in Southern California. So I asked Jody to think about and then explain what it is that her clients, you have thousands and thousands of people come through there every week, and thousands, I'm going to guess, go to many of the L.A. County farmers markets. So how sophisticated is their knowledge when it comes to what they know and what they want, Jody?
Yeah, you know, I think as with anything, there's a spectrum. You have the diehard farmers market customer who buys into the philosophy of farmers market, direct from farmer to consumer, fresh, nutritious produce. They want to have a particular lifestyle, and then they may also enjoy the ancillary, you know, some of our markets, you talked about popcorn, have this ancillary section called the community event section, and that we try to align that as best we can with both our organizational goals, but also with supporting the farmers. So, for example, the prepared foods, we're looking at, are they sourcing the ingredients that go into the prepared foods from the farmers and showcasing farmers? And so, so you have this spectrum of customers that understand that nuance and detail, and that seek out that information, just like you have a spectrum of, you know, folks that are involved or not involved in politics. And then you have the folks that, you know, maybe walking by or may live in the neighborhood and, you know, hear the music that we have at the farmers market, or they saw something in the local paper about an activity that we're having or a special event. So, for example, to attract this customer base that isn't necessarily a farmers market diehard, we have seasonal activities. We have an Easter egg hunt coming up, so that's going to bring out a lot of families. Mm-hmm. But what we do is at the Santa Monica markets is that once they're there, we really want to talk to them about why we exist. We want to have activities around farming so that when they're there, it's the light bulb can come on and we can turn them into a regular customer and supporting the local economy and the local farmers, keeping land in agriculture, and, you know, really supporting those smaller family farms.
Yeah, that's very important. So a couple of things related to that, and you mentioned farms, and I forgot to mention as we get started that you actually have, what, four or five of these farmers markets different days of the week in Santa Monica, different places around town, right?
That's correct. There's over 125 farmers markets in Los Angeles County, which is the largest concentration of farmers markets in any county in California. And in Santa Monica, we are government-run markets, which is also very different than the vast majority of markets in the state, which are run by nonprofits. So we're run by the city of Santa Monica, and we have four weekly farmers markets.
Wow. And that means you have to have many of the people that are displaying their farm products, are they the same from market to market, or do you vary it, or do you have to vary it, or do you have to rely on some people to be there every day?
Well, that comes back sort of to your curation question. You know, we have farmers that attend all four markets. We have farmers that just attend one. And so as with any business, you want to have some continuity for the business and for customers to recognize the wares at the market. And then you want to have something new and exciting. People always want to try something new. And
right.
So you want to be able to differentiate yourself not only from, all of the other 125 farmers markets in Los Angeles, but even within our system of four in the 8 square miles that Santa Monica is,
mm-hmm.
You know, we want to cater to that particular neighborhood and bring something unique so that folks visit all of our markets, not just one.
All right. I want to talk about food availability versus food that's prepared that folks may get at the various markets. Jody Lowe is here with us. She directs the Santa Monica Farmers Markets. Here on this week's American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. President Biden warned Chinese President Xi Friday of consequences if Beijing gave material support to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the White House said. Both sides stressed the need for a diplomatic solution.
He also described the implications and consequences if China provides material support.
The Prime Minister of Norway says four U.S. service members have been killed during a NATO training exercise. On his Twitter account today, Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre said, quote, "It is with great sadness we have received the message that four American soldiers died in a plane crash last night." Norwegian Armed Forces said the soldiers were aboard an Osprey aircraft assigned to a Marine Expeditionary Force in the northern part of the country. There's no word yet on the identity of the four service members. Crews in Eastland County, Texas, continue to battle four main wildfires that broke out Thursday. Officials say the flames have scorched over 45,000 acres and destroyed more than 50 homes. This is USA Radio News. Ukraine's President Zelensky is calling for meaningful talks to stop the Russian invasion in a video message earlier today. Western officials say Russia has taken heavy losses in the Ukraine war, and there are signs of flagging morale among Russian troops. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is in Bulgaria today, meeting with Bulgarian Prime Minister Kirill Petkov.
Putin's war of choice against Ukraine has been tragic.
A major storm system is in the forecast for much of the country, brought on by the seasonal change from winter to spring conditions. Severe weather is first expected to show up Monday afternoon and evening in parts of Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana, then reach into the Tennessee Valley Tuesday night and into the coastal Carolinas region by Wednesday and Thursday. The storm could bring damaging heavy winds, rainfall, possible tornadoes, and flooding conditions. First-time claims for unemployment benefits fell to 214,000 last week, the lowest total since the first of the year. The biggest increases in claims were in New York, California, and Kentucky. The sharpest declines were in Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Missouri. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I'm Doug Steffen. She's joined me from Santa Monica, California. A great example, I think, because I shop it every week. So maybe that's why I think it's a good market. There are a lot of different things there. One of the things I wanted you to explain, because we're trying to help people, farmers and those who might set up a farmer's market, with good ideas about what's successful there, what makes it successful. The food that's available, i.e. the produce, whether it be the meat, whether it's fish, whether it's fruit, vegetables, nuts, all of that sort of thing is available from locally sourced suppliers and farmers. But then there are the people who are there. There are three or four different vendors who will actually prepare food. The morning that you and I sat down to breakfast, I had a yummy mushroom crepe that had been cooked by one of the folks that's in there. And there are three or four other folks who come to make vegetable or whatever kind of food that you want, eggs. And I wonder, first, how you decide who those people, what's customer preference going to be? And do those things all have to be locally sourced as well? Whatever they're cooking for the patrons, does that have to be California grown as well?
Sure. In an ideal world, yes. We would love to have the prepared food sourcing all of their ingredients from our California farmers, and particularly farmers that participate in our markets. In the real world, that doesn't actually make a lot of financial or business sense, unfortunately, at this point. So we do look at the ingredient sourcing. It is a priority when we are evaluating vendors that are applying to our markets. And we score those that have chosen to or can bear the cost and really are dedicated to that philosophy of sourcing locally and California grown. So, for example, you went to the crepe booth, and by the way, his crepes are amazing.
They're great.
And so he does source some of his vegetables, some of the strawberries when they're in season and when he can get good prices on them so that he can still keep the crepes at an affordable price as well. But then you have other items like, for example, the crepes. He has bananas in his grapes. Well, crepes. Well, bananas aren't largely grown on a commercial basis in California. So he's not going to be sourcing the bananas from a California grower. So it is nuanced when we're evaluating these participants. But we are looking to encourage that. We are looking to showcase the farmers, and we're looking for the vendors that are sourcing from those farmers to really market that to the consumer base.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now you just mentioned something that intrigued me, the cost. Buying things at most of these farmers markets is more expensive than if you were to go to the local market, the local supermarket, local food store. And I wonder how that matches up. Is the experience something that people are willing to pay more? For example, you pay $5 for a relatively small box of fruit, of blueberries, blackberries, strawberries. And I don't even know, because I buy all the stuff there. So maybe I'm asking a question that's silly. But I'm guessing it's less expensive to buy them in a grocery store than to buy them. I guess the bottom line is, are people paying for the experience as well as the food and the fruit and stuff that they buy when they come to the market?
That's a really important question and topic that you bring up. There is a broad perception that farmers markets on the balance are more expensive. When we really dig down into the prices, and we've done a price comparison study, which you can find on our website. One of our interns took, I believe it was 16 different commodities from our farmers markets and compared them with the local co-op and a couple of other local stores, bigger chain stores. And I believe she may have even compared them with other farmers markets in the region. Now, some products, yes, are more expensive. Other products you will find when you go, when you compare weight to weight, you will find that they appear on the surface to be more expensive, but what you're actually getting is a larger quantity. So I believe, for example, if you look at chard when it's in season, you get these huge bunches of chard at the farmer's market. You go to the grocery store and they're much smaller. So it's not really comparing apples to apples unless you actually weigh the products and put them, you know, side by side for the price per pound or per ounce. So, I do think you are right. There are some folks that it is a lifestyle choice, it is an experiential choice, and they are going there for that one-on-one connection with the farmer that you're just not going to get at the grocery store.
No. And then there's the other aspect of cost. Do you, a lot of farmers markets that people are putting together want to know whether they need to charge the farmer a fee in order to have the privilege of selling at the market, because you're promoting, and I want to talk about that as well. But let's talk about the fee first that you charge, or what do you? I don't even know the answer to the question. I'm not a good lawyer because I ask questions to which I do not know the answer in order to get the answer from everybody listening. So do you charge to have the farmers there?
We do, as with any business. You can think of this as sort of like a shopping mall, right? So they're going to charge rent to their tenants. We charge rent to our tenants. And it's a percent-based fee that takes into account it's a percent-based fee that is essentially break-even for the city. We're not making a profit.
Mm-hmm. So what your costs are to put it on. Now, does that include the cost of promotion? Because I know that's a very big factor, listing who's there, what you can find. You got a good website. What's in the marketplace? Does it take into account the cost of their being there, all of the expenses?
It does factor in all of the expenses, in fact, and we are extremely blessed to not pay for a lot of marketing. At this point, we use a great deal of social media. You can follow me live every Sunday on Instagram, and I do a market report where I take folks on a tour through the market, and obviously, you know, that kind of platform is free. We do a teeny paid promotions, you know, a couple of Facebook ads here and there for special events and that sort of thing. But we were blessed early on with a director who had a partnership on radio that was a show called Good Food, and she had a segment there where she did a report from the market live, our Wednesday market, which is the one that is probably the most well-known. And that got us a lot of notoriety. And so we've just been, you know, writing that for quite some time, and we really don't pay for a lot of marketing. But the cost for the farmers and for the prepared food vendors does go to the city, goes back into the general fund, and, you know, supports our salaries and our benefits and all of the other ancillary costs related to the market, the permitting, the inspections, et cetera.
Yeah. All right, good. We'll continue our focus on how to do a farmer's market with somebody who knows how to do a farmer's market and get it done well. Jody Lowe is here, the director of the Santa Monica Farmer's Markets. If you're interested in eating good foods, that's a kind of a cool thing, eating good food and taking care of yourself. How about a way to keep the weight off? Those of you who are eating maybe too much of some of the good food and you have that little bulge, or maybe you have big bulges and you want to get rid of them, Calitrin is the only natural way to do that in America. Calitrin is an exclusive product, natural, drug-free, stimulant-free. There's nothing else like it on the market, nothing that guarantees you'll lose the weight and keep it off. Go to Calitrin.com and use the code DJV to buy a bottle, or actually buy six. You have the best benefit. Go on the program for 6 months. Each bottle is a 1 month supply. Get on that. Stay on it. Get $10 off and use the DJV code and enjoy your success. That's all going to happen by going to Calitrin.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-263-3403 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-263-3403. Again, 800-263-3403.
Discover the all-new 2022 Subaru Forester Wilderness, the second member of the Subaru Wilderness family. Featuring 9.2 inches of ground clearance, standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, and all-terrain tires for increased off-road capability, plus a design that's bold and protective at the same time. The Forester Wilderness unlocks a whole new level of adventure. Discover more at Subaru.com/wilderness.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Moving along now with Jody Lowe, who is the curator. She's the manager. She's the major domo in charge of the farmers markets in Santa Monica, California. How long have you been doing this, and what was your background? That was another interesting thing. I think pointing out a lot of the people who do, at least the ones around here, come from farm families. What's your background, and how'd you get into doing this?
Yeah, it's definitely a non-traditional line of work, right?
Yes.
So I have been doing the farmers markets in Santa Monica. It's a dream job for me. And I've been working for the city in the markets for nearly 15 years. And it's interesting, the background that I come from is I grew up going to summer camp. And it was one of my favorite experiences ever. I went to summer camp on a farm up in Northern California. And so I learned a lot about farming, and social equity was a focus of that particular camp. And social justice and environmental sustainability. And so that really primed me to, you know, be interested in this line of work. And I ended up getting a degree in environmental studies and political science, and then moved down to Los Angeles for a bit. And was working some various jobs here and there, and a friend of mine said, well, what's your dream job? And at that time, I lived, I don't know, three or four blocks from the farmer's market that I manage today, and was a regular customer there. And I said, you know, I really would like to manage that farmer's market. And it just embodies everything that I believe in, you know, being outdoors, creating community, a wholesome environment, family, fun, food, environmental sustainability, health, well-being. It's a joy to be there every single weekend and to curate it and to contribute that to the community that I still live in.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you've brought the expertise through experience, through learning, doing it all, and that certainly helps, I think, to make it a more credible experience for everybody who goes there. Again, this is not a rural. This is not even suburban. This is really an urban setting. And so at least all of them are downtown. The one that I go to, I was just looking, actually, the LA Times did a guide to farmers markets. And now that I look at the number here, the choices are myriad. You got 5 of them on Monday, 15 Tuesday, 33 farmers markets in LA County every Wednesday, 40 on Thursday, 39 on Friday, 53 on Saturday, and 44 in some place in LA County on Sunday. So people have huge opportunities. And yet, on every corner, you can't swing a dead cat in Santa Monica without hitting a Whole Foods market. And then they, right? I mean, think about it. You were talking about this. Is it up on, is it California? Where is that, the market? There's a single market, kind of a co-op. I think it's on, I think it's on California. But I've been there a few times, and there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Broadway.
Yeah, is it Broadway? Okay, yeah. At any rate, this is, if you're taking a trip somewhere and you're a farmer and you want to see how this is done, go to LA County. It's probably the best place. There are some other good ones in other cities, up and down the West Coast especially. I think in the Mid-Atlantic region, I guess maybe the place or the way to think about it is where there's a lot of good farming and somebody's good at agricultural structuring. Pennsylvania is a good place. New York, in certain areas of New York, they have them. In the Midwest, they're taking, I mean, I think they're becoming more and more a part of life in America. So once again, thanks, Jody, for being here. Jody Lowe is the manager of the Santa Monica Farmers Markets in California. A great job. It is fun. Bring the family to these things. They are really, it's a great way to teach children about where food really comes from, because it doesn't come from the supermarket. All right, Jody, thanks. Doug Steffen here on this week's American Family Farmer. You're welcome.
Getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20 because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital. Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statement, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Back on the American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen with a reminder that there is, as a public service, a way for you to get the backlogged, if that's the way you want to refer to them, the podcasts of the American Family Farmer program. If you go to AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, you'll find free all of the old shows. You can get the update, for example, the most recent one has me talking about John Deere dealerships again, and what's really going on with John Deere. Also, the National Farmers Union has filed a lawsuit against John Deere over the right to repair issue. I'm all for that, frankly. And then we have a conversation with a lady who founded a farm, an orange grove, actually, but she taught us a lot about how to be, this is a fishing family that became farmers, and now they've gone the next step into agritourism. It's a very interesting listen, so check that out. All of our podcasts hopefully help you make your farm better. That's what it's aimed at. The Farm Show is aimed at helping people understand the connection between families, farms, and food. And so that's, and I'm proud of the work we're doing, the conversations we're having. So check them out. If you don't hear them all, or you want to go back to listen to some of the earlier ones from the last 2, 3, 4 years, check them all out at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I have these thoughts on the I guess I would describe it as roller coaster economics of family farming. There was a study done by Virginia Tech, this economic reality that farmers are going through. Let's face it, farming is a business. Even though as a kid growing up and even now in my own farming reality, I don't treat it as a business. I guess because fortunately I don't have to depend on a farm income, but I never really treat it as a business because I love it too much. And I think sometimes when you love something, most of the family farmers that I know love what they do. And they're discouraged by the fact that many people in their family don't want to continue. Once in a while, you find somebody who's got a youngster, a man or a woman, coming along, a child or one of their children that wants to take the farm over. But that's becoming more and more rare. We are finding people who want to get into the business, who have this dream about being farmers. And that's cool, except they don't have that historical tradition and knowledge about the farm, about the land, about how to do the things that are best, the land is best suited for. So, and part of that is the economic reality of just not being able to farm and make a business out of it, even though 3-4 generations deep, they have, you know, farms have been able to survive because the mother and the father get off farm jobs in order to keep things going. There's that much of a connection. Unless you lived it, you don't really know it. I'm saying that to the people who are listening who aren't farmers, who don't get why it is that people love being on the land as much as they do. I will tell you, I couldn't imagine life without being on the farm. It's been ingrained in my psyche. And so I like to have good quality experiences on my farm, and I'm sure that most of you do. And I have not treated it as a business, mostly because I didn't have to, but I probably should have, especially when you look at what it has cost over the years for me to have the farm, the economic realities and the hardships of doing it. It's just, you know, it's more important to have the farm than it is for some of us to be economically healthy. That may sound like kind of a weird, sick almost approach to things. The farm community today has $35 trillion in assets. That is, as of this moment in America, we have $35 trillion worth of land, animals, resources, that sort of thing. You look back over all of this stuff, last 12, 14, 15 years, the commodity situation has changed so much because the reality is that people have gotten off of the farm and the big agribusinesses have come in to make it a business instead of just having the farm. It's a crucial economic reality. Most people can't do what I've done and what many of you have done or had to do to save the farm was to get these jobs. This goes back to the 70s, frankly, the 70s, the 80s. And now we have, you know, the reality of onslaughts like China and what they're trying to do to American farming and big businesses. And good God, does it ever stop? I still hope that we're going to be able to, for the relatively far future, have the farms, enjoy the farms, love the farms, and hold on to them as we can for dear life almost. Those are my thoughts on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steff.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.